Them kids just did not want to have nothing to do with that one sucker this morning. I tell you what, I'm sure glad Sister Ann had a bucket back there that had some suckers in it. They would have went, I would have been on their bad list this morning.
Sarah would have got the mop.
Yeah, I'd got it mopped when I walked out of the building, that's for sure. And my own, Brian, I don't want to get in trouble. Okay, well, I don't think I need it, but everybody needs to hear it, I guess, so they'll turn the volume down when I get loud and turn it up when I get quiet, maybe. I don't know. Whenever you're asked to minister at your church, being a minister, I always want to be that bucket that's empty and say, Lord, you pour into it what you want me to have.
Amen.
I'm not one that is overflowing with knowledge or anything like that. All I've got is a God that's able.
Yes.
I've got a Savior that puts up with me. And I just want to brag about Him.
Amen.
We're going to be in 1 Kings this morning. And around chapter 19, 18. But the verses that we're going to read this morning is in chapter 18. Verses 17 and 18. I've been studying in Romans, and I, in my quiet time and God's Word, I've been on Romans chapter 11 for probably 2 or 3 weeks, and Romans chapter 11 talks about the episode that we're going to preach on today. You know, God, when we think that there's no hope and everything is just going sideways, we got to remember who's in control.
Amen.
God has always got it. He has never let go. He will never let go. And He is not only our God, the God who gave His Son Jesus Christ. He's the God that is in control of Satan. He's got it, always has, and always will. So there's nothing that happens, and He knows exactly the circumstance you're in this morning. There's no surprises to Him at all. But verses 17 and 18 in 1 Kings 18 reads, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubles Israel? And he answered, Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask now, you just hide me behind Calvary. Use me as a vessel here this morning, dear Lord, for unworthy am I. Woo, but I serve one that is, dear Heavenly Father, and I just want you... blessings be upon this service this morning. Bind my tongue on things I don't need to say and loosen it on the things that you won't say.
Yes.
For worthy are you of worship and praise. And we just want to lift you up this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is so amazing to me that when I get myself in trouble by doing something that I shouldn't do or what I thought I should do and it don't work out, I want to blame somebody else. I love to blame this little redhead here, but she don't take blame easy. She puts me in my place, so to speak. She's got Stafford in her through and through. And there's no backing up whenever you're in that pool of the pond. It runs deep in that family. And so I just have to take a back seat. But I want to tell you, we need to learn to take a back seat when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something that we're doing and it's not right. Elijah here is taking on the form, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. And God tells the Holy Spirit, tells Elijah, go and tell this king that he has gone and married a queen of a country that serves Balaam and worships Baal. And I don't want to have nothing to do with that in Israel, because you are my people and I will have my way with you. So he tells him, go and tell them it's going to be dry for a season. We're just going to let it not rain. Not even the dew is going to happen for these years. It don't say 3 years. It says these years. So it could have been several years. But on the third year, God says, go and confront Ahab. But at that time, after 3 years of no rain and no dew, there was a famine going on. And in fact, when Ahab confronts Elijah here, him and his right-hand man are out seeking some grass that perhaps is growing by a creek that ain't went dry yet to sustain their horses and their mules and the beast that they have. And Elijah shows up. And you can read about that. That starts in 17. And that's where we talked with the children this morning about the curse of oil and the flower and about the widow and her son. And all that is interesting. But what God wants me to talk about and preach about this morning is, it's amazing how we want to blame something when we get in trouble. But then whenever we realize that we're right at the threshold of realizing that we're wrong, we still won't believe. When God shows us point blank what our problem is, we still refuse sometimes. My daddy called that hard-headedness. And I've got a hard head in a lot of respects and everything. But I've learned over the 65 years of my life that it doesn't pan out always being hard-headed. And sometimes you gotta kind of roll with the flow, so to speak. And even if you're right, just that's all right. It's okay. Just keep your mouth shut and go on. But Ahab, when he confronted Elijah here, he said, "You're the one that has given Israel all kind of trouble." And Elijah tells him, "said Listen, it's not I. I'm just a voice of God. It is you." And I don't know what Ahab thought about that. But if you think about it, Ahab had brought a false god into the temple. He had dug up the altars of God. And he had gone sideways with God. Now, did it say he wasn't prospering? I don't know. But it was dry. And God says, I'm going to curse you. There's a lot of times that we try to get on top of things, and it's just impossible to do. And the more we try to get on top of things, the worse it gets. I want to tell you an experience I had when I was 12 years old. My father, we did custom baling, baled hay, and I remember doing some work on Sunday afternoon when it rained or something, and the hay got wet. He said, after church, we'll go and rake the hay and see if we can get it dry enough to bale, because it was somebody else. And that's the only time we would do that on Sunday. And come a day whenever we had a wet spring, and we were real far behind. He had work stopped on, and working at Canalco, just couldn't. And he made a choice to cut hay and purposely chose to work on Sunday and to bale that hay and to haul it and everything. And I was 12 years old. It was in May, about a month from now. And as we was leaving, Mama looked at him and says, "You know you're not doing right." Dad said, "Well, I got to get caught up somehow." And that morning, about 10 o'clock, it was ironic, really. I was going off the hill with a load of hay, and it got sideways, and I flipped the tractor. And there done been two people killed on this farm, on these hills. And I found myself laying beside the tractor instead of underneath it. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know for sure, but I know we never did bale hay on Sunday again. You know, there's a lot of times people say, "Well, I enjoy doing this." My daddy enjoyed baling hay. He enjoyed getting out there in the country and doing things. But you know, what's your witness worth? What do the people see you? Even though you have good intention, "Oh, I'm out here enjoying doing this on Sunday afternoon or Sunday, whatever." But what do people see? What did the people in Ahab day think whenever he married Jezebel and she brought her prophets with her and started worshiping Baal and everything? What do you think God felt like? What do you think the people there felt like? We're God's chosen people, and here we are tearing down his altars, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And God has, we've all heard what Elijah told him, and now here we are. It's affecting all of us. No rain and no nothing. And we're in trouble. I don't know what my mama said to Daddy that evening when he got home. I wasn't privy to that. But she had Matlock in her. Like the Staffords. I know what I would have got said to me if it had been my son Andrew, and I probably wouldn't even be here, just to be honest with you. But, you know, we make choices, and sometimes God says, "Let me prove to you that I'm real. I'm not just something you go to worship on Sunday and it's just because that's just what people do. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm the one that gave his son Jesus Christ at Calvary for your sin debt. And it's up to us, the Great Commission, to reflect Christ in our walk towards a lost and dying world. That is dead to Christ. Even though he died for me. He paid for their sin debt. I know that we look at people and say, man, I'm glad I'm not that bad. But I want to tell you, if you really look in the mirror, you're going to say, yeah, I remember those days. And sometimes I still get in the ditch. My daddy got in the ditch on that Sunday morning. But I want to tell you something. He never did that again. You couldn't have paid him enough money, or he couldn't have got behind enough to go out and do something on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I like the way Brother Joe says it. I hope you have a good time in your recliner this afternoon or wherever you go, but rest. Reflect on your service that you had this morning. And then get ready to come back again and worship the Lord tonight. It's a privilege. Kelly was reading me a little article last night about Cuba and what's going on there in the ministry and handing out Bibles. A Bible amongst one family might have a Bible. And then it might be a group of families that have one Bible. I dare say we got Bibles laying all over our house. Do we thirst for God's Word? Do we thirst to hear a small voice? We're going to talk about that in a minute. And if you read on and chapter 18, you'll find that there was a contest. Baal gods against one god. Little g's against the big G. You know how the people have got upset over Biden not cursing Israel and everything, and they wanting the Palestinians and everything, all the stuff going on overseas, and how they get stirred up because he's supporting Israel, now he's changed his mind, doing all that stuff. You know what would stir up people in America, a lot of them, is whenever a man or a woman would get up that's in public office and say, God bless America in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what that does? That gets to a single God. Long as you're saying God bless America, they can say, well, he's talking about my God. But I want to tell you, if you go ahead and get it singular, God bless America in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There'll be some head knocking, votes lost, and everything else. But I want to tell you, God would say, look at that. Yep. You know what would happen? Our sacrifice would be consumed by the Almighty God that we lay at the altar, which is ourself. Say, Lord, take me, use me. Let me die upon my cross daily. Take and use me and pour me up and fill me up daily that I might pour it out on whoever you ask me to pour it out upon and just let it overflow. That the Son of God, Jesus Christ, be glorified and honored. There'll be a lot of people who would protest if you got it singular because they would not like that at all. You know what? That'd be fine with me because This is God Bless America in the name of our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as far as I'm concerned. But we find that the contest went on and the sacrifice was licked up. And God showed up and showed out. Rain came. Elijah hiked up his and girded up his robe that he was wearing, and he run as fast as a horse did back to Jezreel. And Ahab broke down the door and said, "Let me tell you what, honey. Woo! You just lost 450 of your prophets, but I want to tell you about my God. He showed up and showed out." You would think he would do that. But you read on. Chapter 22, where Ahab lost his life. You know what God was doing with Ahab? He just kept knocking on his door. Giving him opportunities after opportunities after opportunities to acknowledge the true and living God. And you know what God's doing in your life? Let me in. Let me in. Let me allow you to show other people who I am. Because I'm not a little G. I'm a big G. And I'm the only one. Well, you go on into 19. You'd think Elijah, after he's seen the fire come from heaven and the water licked up by the flames, that he said, "Woo, bring it on, bring it on." Well, Jezebel puts out a decree at the beginning of chapter 19 and says, "If by tomorrow this time you ain't dead, then I'm not Jezebel." Well, he was still alive, but he went and run. Now, beginning in chapter 17, God tells, and I mentioned this in the children's church, he told Elijah, "You proclaim this curse against Israel and then go hide." Then he comes, and now then, since God has been glorified, now he's got an opportunity to stand and really let it be. He runs and hides, but God didn't tell him to. How many of you glad that whenever you do mess up and you get in a ditch and you do things you shouldn't do, God doesn't just cast you out? I'm glad I got a forgiving God. I'm glad I got a God that, boy, he looks past my problems and my troubles. I got a wife like that, or she done got rid of me. You know, it's good to have a wife or a husband that will forgive you. You know, if you understand grace, there's nothing you cannot forgive anybody for. If you understand what you've been forgiven for. Woo, grace is deep. Amen. Grace is so, so deep. Praise God for grace. Elijah, instead of showing up and showing out and saying, "I don't believe you can take my life," he runs. But God says, "Angel, go down there. He's hungry. Fix him a fire and bake him a cake and give him a curse of water and let him eat and feed him." And that angel got it all prepared and then pecked him on the shoulder. "Wake up, Elijah." And he wakes up and there it is. That's in chapter 19. Well, he falls back to sleep. And the angel prepares him another meal, Mike. God says, "Wake him up. Let him eat. He's got a journey. He's got something he needs to do. And he eats. And then, instead of turning towards Ahab and Jezebel, he runs towards Horeb, the Mount of God. And he gets there and he hides. And God comes to him and asks him, what are you doing here in this cave? What are you doing in this cave? And this is in Romans chapter 11, what he says. He says, let me just read that. So I'll tell you what he says. And he said, I have been very jealous for thee, Lord God of hosts, for the children have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slayed thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah was having a pity party. You know, a lot of times when we get in trouble and we get spanked, our lips stick out and we pout some. How many of you ever pouted before? You know, just absolutely got in trouble with mom and dad when you was a kid or whatever. And even though, you know, they was right, you got to go pout. Oh, I was a good pouter, you know. And that's what Elijah here was doing. God asked, what are you doing in this cave? This is not why I gave you this food that could sustain you. Now, that scripture doesn't say that. I'm reading between the lines there, Brother Eddie. Said, this is not the direction I wanted you to go. I wanted you to go toward Jezebel. Because I had you, buddy. You know why I know that? Elijah comes on the scene. And in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, the Syrian army surrounds his little town. And what does he ask his servant to do? That knees are shaking and scared to death. He says, open up my servant's eyes that he might see. Here's the Syrian army surrounded this little town where Elijah is. And Elijah's just sitting, this ain't no problem. And his servant just said, Master, it's time. We're done. Lord God, Elijah, open up my servant's eyes. And he opens his eyes. And around the whole ridge was the army of God. Flames. And I guess that servant says, well, I think we're going to be okay. I want to tell you something. If you'll snuggle up to God, learn how to have that quiet time. Learn how to get in His Word. Yeah, you're going to get in trouble sometime. And you're going to have an opportunity to pout sometime. And sometimes you're going to think you're the only one out there. And you're the only one going through this problem. You're the only one having a bad day today. And it's just building up, building up. God opened their eyes to what you did and what you can do. Jesus had a few bad days. He had a bad Friday. Whoa, but he had a good Sunday. Praise God. I don't know if I'd been him, I'd had a bad Friday or not. He had those leading angels begging him, just let us have it, Jesus. We've got this. Jesus, I've got it. I got these nails. I got this crown of thorns. I got the mocking. I got the cursing. I've got the whip of cat nine tails. I got all of it. Because I love my creation. I love the ones that I put a soul in. And I want them to know I got it. He's got it for you. If I'd been him, I'd poke my lips out and I said, y'all want me to come off this cross? Woo! All right, Father. I don't want to say it's finished. I just want to show him it's fixing to start. But he didn't do it. And God says, let's step outside here on this mountain. Let me just demonstrate something to you, Elijah. A big wind came by. I don't think it's any wind that we've ever even heard about. But you know what it did? It broke the rocks into. We've heard of tornadoes and hurricanes doing things, but I've never heard of one shaking a whole mountain. And then an earthquake came. And then a fire. And he wasn't in none of that. But then that still small voice. You know what the still voice said? What are you doing in this cave, Elijah? Oh, having a pity party. Because I'm the only one. I'm the only one that serves you. I'm the only one that's got it. God says, okay. I've tried to get you to leave this place. Face what I want you to face. The scripture should have been rewrote here. But instead, he stayed there. He said, okay, go anoint this guy king of Syria. Go anoint this king of another place. And then, and by the way, throw your mantle on Elijah. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to get somebody that will. And we want to end right here with this one verse. I'm going to be like Brother Joe. If you ever highlight anything, here's a good enough highlight. And then we're going to be done. Verse 18 of chapter 19. This is God speaking to Elijah. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Everyone that has not kissed him, kissed Baal. Now, I want everybody to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to do some pondering. And I just want you to forget about everything that's around you and think about something. I want you to ponder a little bit. The scripture says that God says, I've had 7,000 that have not kissed Baal and bowed a knee to him. What's that talking about? When we do not do the will of God, and we do not do the things that would affect our families, the world will. The world seeks to devour your children. So, what choices do we make on Sunday morning to come to worship service? What choices do we make on Sunday afternoon when it's worship time? What are we telling our kids? What are we telling our spouse? What are we telling our moms and dads, or whatever your situation is? Who are you kissing on Sunday afternoon? Who are you kissing on Sunday morning? Who do you kiss when you go to work? Are you kissing God? Are you kissing Baal? Are you kissing Satan? Each one of us has got to answer that. What do we do that affects others in our life? My daddy kissed that hayfield on Sunday morning, which Satan loved it. But God says, not so fast, Satan. You're not taking his son. I've got plans for him. Little did I know I'd be here on Sunday morning. God's got plans for each one of you. So who are you kissing? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We praise your holy name, and I pray that we have sought our hearts out